Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Welcome back. We are live at Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Join the show, Steve.
I'm starting to coast into the finish line right now.
Come on, man.
This is really starting to melt.
Pull it up.
This up a little bit.
It's starting to melt my desire to be of service.
I feel better now than I did 2 hours ago when the show began, though. I felt lousy 2 hours ago. I feel a little bit better
Murph
now.
It was hit and miss whether Murph was going to start the show today.
He bailed early at practice.
I
was standing next to him for 40 minutes. All of a sudden, he was gone. I didn't know where he was.
Yeah,
it was like a vanishing act.
We had
the Irish goodbye.
That was the Irish goodbye. You were vanished.
We had a hard half day yesterday of
travel.
And it was a hard drive coming in.
And 4.5 hours of sleep.
It was late at night on a strange four-lane, three-way highway. And it was
right.
Orange cones for like 50 miles.
Yeah. You didn't even drive, Steve.
And listen,
I'm not
getting in late
at
night.
Sacking out in the back
of the
Suburban.
Getting up this morning early, we had breakfast with the team and it was like we couldn't. Yeah. Everything was closed
breakfast
last night.
Breakfast with the team. It's tough.
That's tough.
It's tough.
It was a rough day.
My son would ask if he should call you a wambulance.
I'm just saying, Murph was hit and misses whether he's going to start the show.
No, now he was always going to be here.
He's crescendoing now at the end of the
show.
Well,
at least it's not both of you down
and
at the same time.
I have taken it out of gear.
We got Chris Brown with us, Bills insider Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com. Yeah. You look like a man who traveled on the charter, got here in an hour and a half, and got a good night's sleep last night.
That would be me. Yeah. And properly
congratulations.
Get the proper nutrition as well. I enjoyed your sports update and your voice inflection and pregnant pause when you said Texans head coach Bill O'Brien has no clue when Jadeveon Clowney is going to be reporting to camp.
Not what I meant, but
it was
I hear
good.
There's
I
a lot of interesting news in there. Andrew Luck news is in there.
That's not good.
That's not good. I got to ask you, though, today we go out there and limited viewing for me. I was doing stuff, but what I did see.
Yeah, I saw.
What I did see, though, I was like, wow, the Bills look pretty good.
Yeah, I liked the 7-on-7 red zone period for the offense the best. And granted, that's a drill that's slanted towards offensive success. No pass rush. You're just working on route concepts. But the chemistry between Josh and Matt Barkley, for that matter, and the receivers was encouraging, and it was my lead note for the top three things to know that's on BuffaloBills.com now, and I kind of walked them through some of the highlights of what went on. But
did you say the chemistry between the quarterbacks and the top receivers?
Well, the receivers that are running with those first two groups.
Because Cam Phillips made the catch of the day today, I thought, from Barkley in 7-on-7.
That was the third-to-last play, made that leaping grab. Now, that was probably the prettiest throw as well, because Barkley put it in an area – where only Cam Phillips could get it, but Cam Phillips had to use every ounce of his athleticism to make the play, and both players did their job. And, I mean, the crowd, I mean, they were erupted after that play.
Great play.
Because it was right in front of all the Bills fans there behind the fence in that end zone. So that worked out really well. Duke Williams made a play or two today. Isaiah McKenzie, for the third straight day, is turning in plays. I think he's taken what he did in the preseason game, and he has built on that every single day on the practice field after that. He made a couple of plays on Friday in the scaled-back practice the day after the game. He had a very good practice on Sunday, and then here we are in the joint practices today. And that last 11-on-11 period, he makes three receptions, including a pass. He catches a pass in the end zone, and it is a bullet over the middle from Matt Barkley. You don't even hear it hit his hands. I didn't realize – I mean, he's not a big guy, Steve. He does not have big hands. It's hard for a smaller guy to have soft hands, isn't it? I mean, you got to kind of
– it's hard to
To wrap the ball. When you have smaller hands, you kind of have this tendency to want to squeeze it to make sure you don't lose it, where guys with big hands just kind of let it hit him in the mitts. And I was talking to Isaiah about that after practice, and he said, no, it's something that I've really worked on to try not to grip it so tight when it's coming in, just kind of let it come into me and pull it in that way. And he goes, I feel like my hands are taking some of those rocket passes a little bit better than they did last year.
And we were just talking about the snap counts of the wide receivers during the preseason game, the first preseason game. And I don't know how much you read into it, but, you know, obviously John Brown took most of them. Cole Beasley was in for a lot of them. Then it gets kind of interesting after that. Andre Roberts had the third most reps with Josh. I'm talking about the guys who played with Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. John Brown, 17 of the 18 snaps Josh Allen played. Cole Beasley, 13 of those snaps. Andre Roberts had 11 of those snaps. And then Zay Jones and Isaiah McKenzie, and it drops off.
Right. McKenzie got most of his work in the second half of that game. Foster got a little work in the second half. This is what I think. I think they know what Foster is, and they don't need to see more of him. They need to see more of Roberts. They need Brown and Beasley to get reps with Josh Allen. And everybody else is kind of a mixed bag. I think they're pretty confident in what Zay Jones can do as well. The reason and that was reinforced to me at the press conference after Thursday night's game. Somebody was asking about Robert Foster and whether or not he has to pick it up, if he's not doing enough, how much more does he have to do? And Sean McDermott's answer convinced me that Robert Foster is fine, safe, and is going to be on the roster.
What did he say?
He said, we know what Robert Foster is capable of. We know he can make those plays. So it seems like there is a very comfortable feeling about what Robert Foster brings to the offense. And even if there are some hiccups or a little bit of lack of consistency along the way, it's not going to impact his roster status. Now, if he completely falls off a cliff and can't do anything, well, then that could change things. But short of that, it sounds very much like he's going to be on the roster.
With Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, we're talking about receivers. Zay Jones had a big catch today.
Yeah, right at the goal line. Didn't get in, but again, another acrobatic play.
In traffic.
And, you know, that's the old Jerry Rice school logic. You know, and even in this setting, you're not getting hit. But, you know, Jerry Rice used to always say, you're going to get hit anyway. You may as well catch the dang thing. So Zay used every ounce of his athletic ability to make that catch at the goal line and snared that pass because it was coming in fast.
Yep.
And to pull that in was very encouraging because I know there is still a portion of Bills fans who don't have a whole lot of faith in Zay Jones' hands.
I know.
Stretching back all the way to his rookie year. And, you know, people ignore the fact that this guy was the leading receiver on this team in catches, yards.
57 catches last year.
Catches, yards, and receiving touchdowns, if I remember right. Yes. So, I mean, he had the triple crown. Not that that's a major trophy with the way the passing offense looked last year. But still in all, somebody's got to do it, and he was the guy doing it. So, you know, those are two guys whose roster spots, I believe, are safe. So that's four right there. And then you know Roberts is going to be on the roster because it's five. So what you're down to now is players like Isaiah McKenzie.
Cam Phillips.
Ray McLeod. Cam Phillips. Duke Williams. All of those guys are in that same bucket, as Coach McDermott likes
spot.
To say, for one spot. And McKenzie is moving up because he is not yet with the first teamers, but he's getting just as many second-team opportunities now as Ray McLeod was, where in the first 2 weeks in training camp, McLeod was clearly ahead of him, and those two players are essentially the same player. They're the same guy. So who is going to step forward and separate here in these next two or three preseason games?
One thing I was going to ask you about, and I'm just saying, if they know who the guy is, If they're lying to the media when they're asked, says, hey, we know who he is, particularly a young guy like Robert Foster.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm cutting too much into this. I don't know. And I never want to be one of those guys who is a conspiracy theorist. But if they know who he is, how do they know who a guy is who's that young, who had a half a season last year, who they expect to get much, much better? Do they know that he has not gotten that much better, or do they know he is? That's the question. How does anybody know whether that guy's made a step forward if he's not getting any reps?
I think there were –
because there's no question. Robert Foster had a long way to go.
Right. I don't think that's a debate. But I think also what's trumping that is the fact that Cole Beasley missed the entire spring and John Brown missed most of the spring because his significant other was having twins.
Right.
So he was in and out of spring camp and didn't get a ton of reps with Josh. And so I think the priority right now – is get John Brown and Cole Beasley as acclimated to Josh Allen and the way he throws a football in this offense more than anything else. And Robert Foster's development, quite frankly, may have taken a back seat to that, because I think it, when it's all said and done, Robert Foster's probably your four, and Zay Jones is probably your three. And, you know, in terms of your receiver rotation when you get to a 53-man roster. Yeah. And, yes, Robert Foster does need to develop. Yes, he does need to be more consistent. But I think he's at a place now where they're comfortable, where they can say, look, we'll get back to him after we square John Brown and Cole Beasley away with Josh Allen in the passing game. I think they need to make progress there so they're ready for week one to go with those guys, because those are the guys going to be on the field the most.
We're with Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, talking about today's practice, the first joint practice with Carolina, talking about where the Bills are at. If you'd like to join us, phone lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Chris is with us for a couple of more minutes. I want to move on. Tight ends. Anything new there here today? I didn't see anything, right?
Dawson Knox still not back.
Right? Yeah, I saw him
Kroom
on the side.
Kroom is working running in, but he's limited. He's only doing individual player
okay
stuff.
Did he have red jersey? I couldn't.
No. He's got a regular jersey, but he is not doing teamwork yet.
Okay.
And that makes sense because, you know, you already had a recurrence of the injury, the same one that you had that kept you out all spring. You had a recurrence of it early in camp. You don't want his first full practice to be in a ramped-up intensity setting against another team today.
Right.
So I would be very surprised if he does anything this week. I think he's limited in practice today, tomorrow, does conditioning work on Thursday, conditioning work on Friday, and they come back at it on Sunday and see where he's at and say, okay, let's give him a little bit more to do. So he's not ready yet. So now, you know, you got Sweeney, who won on a couple of routes. He just
yes
could not connect and finish the play yes with Josh Allen. Allen kind of led him too much on one. But he's winning on his routes, and I think he has opened the eyes of this offensive staff to the fact that he is more than just a 5-yard plant route, tight end, safety valve receiver. He can do more than that and runs better than maybe even they thought he could and wins more on matchups than maybe they thought he could. It's looking like a really, really nice 7th-round pick. The problem is you're going to have a conundrum if Tyler Kroft is ready at the beginning of the year. If Tyler Kroft is not going to be ready at the beginning of the year, your easy way out there is to go reserve PUP with Tyler Kroft. You push that decision out to about week 7 to 10, and then you can keep Sweeney, Knox, Kroom, and Lee Smith, and you keep 4. But if Kroft is back in the equation, that's going to make for some tough calls there, and it might be Kroom.
Okay.
Let me work in a call here. You got another tight end question?
No, I was going to move on to the O-line.
Yeah, we got
to
talk about that,
too. O-line. But let me work in a call. Terry on the line in Tonawanda. Hello, Terry. Go ahead. You're on the air.
How you guys doing? Hello?
Can't hear Terry. Is Terry talking?
Terry is not
talking. Hello?
Hang on there, Terry. Maybe we'll fix that problem back at our network control. Steve, go ahead.
All right, let's talk about the offensive line.
Yeah.
Cody Ford, right guard. Nsekhe is a left tackle. Dawkins is a right tackle. Dawkins is a left tackle. Who are the two guards? Who are the center? How are they
so
rotating?
They're still working that 6-man rotation. So left to right today, it was Dawkins, Spain, Feliciano, Ford, and Nsekhe. Okay. Then on the third rep, or sometimes the fourth rep, they rotate Nsekhe out. They kick Ford out to right tackle. They kicked Feliciano out to right guard. And they bring Long in as the center. And that's how they roll until the first team is done with all their reps. So that has been going on since Friday's practice, the day after the first preseason game. They've been doing this 6-man rotation. Mm-hmm. They did it again on Sunday, and they did it again today.
And Seki and Long are rotating out, in and out.
Right.
Right.
And so
not at the same position, I mean.
No. And yes. on a rare occasion, Long will kick in for Spain for a rep or two and play left guard.
Right.
That happened over the weekend a couple of times, which was the first time we saw Spain step out for a rep or two. So it's clear to me that they have their top 7, Morse being one of them, and then these 6. Those are their top 8, sorry. Am I counting right? 5, 6, 7. That's their top 7. So you've got the two guards that can also play center in Feliciano and Long, And then you have Ford and Secchi, and then Morris, who's out still in the concussion protocol. Although it looked like Morris took another step today. He was not in pads, but he was doing football-related activity on a non-contact basis. That means he has reached step four of the return to participation protocol. So all that's left is full medical clearance, and then he's free to return to full activity in the practice setting and obviously preseason games. So I don't think he's going to do anything this week, but hopefully, you know, by this time next week, he's back in the practice setting.
Here's the concussion protocol, and you're at four. Football-specific activities. The cognitive load of playing football will be added, and players will participate in non-contact activities for the typical duration of a full practice.
Yeah. So
did he
do
that all practice today?
He
did. I saw him early.
Yeah, only early.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's at the very beginning stages of step four, and it's all non-contact. He was doing pass sets, you know, with his teammates in a helmet, no pads,
and nobody was touching him, and he wasn't punching anybody. Yeah, he wasn't participating with him. He was just doing it.
Well,
off
he had
the
a
side.
Guy shadowing in front of him,
right?
And whatever. So, yeah, non-contact. So that's step four, and that's where he's at.
So we're a step away, and I'm not going to put a timetable on it, but it looks like the Lions game would be the logical place for him to come back.
Well, I think they're hoping he's ready by then, for sure, because we're going on next week. Will be the third week, I think.
Yep.
So that's And, guys, we talked about this, too. Nobody saw a play where they would have said, oh, yeah, I'm not surprised he's in concussion protocol. Remember when he took that knock on the back of his head when he fell down?
Right.
Remember when he fell down and somebody kneed him in the back of the – like, you'd be like, oh, yeah, well, that's why he's in concussion. We didn't see anything like that. Nothing.
Let me try one more on the call here. Terry in Tonawanda. Terry, do we have you now?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good, Terry. Thanks for being patient with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for taking my call. I would like to talk about the ex-rugby player, Wade.
Yeah.
Me, like, if you're playing a game like that with no pads and you go to the NFL, I mean, that guy's going to be hard to bring down, and I just got a gut feeling he's going to be really good. Any chance of making the team?
Slim.
Yeah.
Slim. I think it would have to you'd have to see some guys get injured. You know, they'd have to clear the way in front of him. He's not going to beat Frank Gore and LeSean McCoy out. He's probably not going to beat Devin Singletary out. You could make a case for him maybe with T.J. Yeldon, unless Yeldon bounces back with a strong game this year. You remember Yeldon had the fumble this last week.
Right. And did not play again after
and
that.
And didn't play after that.
So
the road would have to be cleared, I think, for Christian Wade to make.
Because I think what we have to also remember, you know, people see the 65-yard touchdown and say, "Oh wow, we need that guy on our roster," and there are some physical capabilities that say yes, there is a physical ability level that can play in the NFL, but the knowledge base of the game is simply not there. I mean.
He didn't know where to go
Keith
after he Tobridge, scored.
Keith Tobridge had to tell him, okay, you can go to the sideline now because we got to line up for a point after attempt.
Yeah.
And you're not on that group, so go over to the sideline. Nice run. He had no clue. Now, and coaches talked about this too, talking about how his first day here in spring OTAs, they're teaching him where the A, the B, and the C gap are. Like, this is something that kids learn at 8 or 9 in Pee Wee football. And he doesn't know that from Adam. And to develop instincts in this short a period of time and make the plays that he will need to make on a consistent basis, I think, is a supreme challenge. Not saying he can't overcome it, but I don't think the time frame that is at his disposal here is conducive to him making the roster. It's just too much to master in too short a time.
He's got the golden ticket to the practice squad. And they can use that. They can use that year.
It helps them. Yeah, they get some benefit out of putting him on the practice squad because he's an extra roster spot basically for free. So they can have 11 guys on their practice squad instead of 10. I think they're going to exploit that.
Yeah.
I think they want to exploit that. I think they're going to for lack of a better way to put it, they're going to use him for an extra roster spot.
Yeah.
So they're going to keep him around, develop him as best they can, and then they'll give him a shot at it next year. Now, we've seen other guys in this Players Pathway program from Europe come over, and they all spend a year just acclimating to the game and the country and the culture and the lifestyle. So give the guy a break. You know, I know we want to see him play because he's got some ability, but give him a chance to catch his breath before you throw him into an NFL game.
We should mention the defense today. They were having some trouble with Greg Olsen and Christian McCaffrey. I'm going to tell you right now, Christian McCaffrey is unbelievable.
He's good.
If you, I'm telling you, what you see from him on television does not do his ability justice. When you are down on the field and you look at his ability to separate from anyone on the playing field, it is something to see. He is so quick. And then the acceleration, I swear he's at top speed in three steps. He is a special, special player, and they are going to use him a ton this year because the guy is always open.
Yeah, 111 catches last year.
Yeah, he had about seven today. They could not stop him. He was an unstoppable force for the Carolina offense today. And then Olsen is just this silky, smooth kind of route runner. He just gets open. I still don't understand why he wears the wool beanie cap, even down here at this time of year.
Ooh.
I'm like, dude, you went to University of Miami. Like, what are you wearing? Yeah. Like, what? I got to ask him about that.
The Bills went up against McCaffrey in his second NFL game. Remember 2017,
yeah.
Week 2. And at the time, I thought, wow, he's really
good. And Olsen left that game with a bad foot because
he
got hurt.
He's good that game. McCaffrey's good. He's great now. I mean, he's taking a jump.
He's something
else. A couple of jumps ahead.
He's going to be special for that team this year. I mean, he might have 60 catches this year. And, I mean,
they're talking about he's close to 1,000 yards receiving and
right,
rushing.
He might be a 2,000 all-purpose yard guy.
Can Christian McCaffrey be a guy that rushes for 1,000 and catches 1,000 yards?
Yeah, it all depends. He doesn't have the best body type in the world, but he came in here jacked up, and he is not any slower from what I saw today. Now, you know, the defense did make some plays. Matt Milano had a tip on a good coverage play in the end zone. Levi Wallace was there to catch it for an INT. Right at the goal line, so that was one of the better plays on defense. Maurice Alexander had a batted pass coming across the middle, running with a tight end. He had good coverage there. Tipped the ball and almost intercepted it all by himself. And there were a couple other plays here and there. But other than Olsen and McCaffrey, that offense didn't really do a whole lot. They didn't connect very much. I thought Cam looked all right. Nothing special. So defense did okay.
You said something a couple of minutes ago, Brownie, about, and it got me thinking about the reason we're here. And you said something about the ramped up competition level.
Yep.
I heard about that, and I've seen these joint practices before, but I really saw it today. I mean,
there
probably
was some juice.
Yeah, probably because of our travel issues last night. I'm thinking, why are we here? What is this all about? And I go out there and watch practice, and they say, I see why they're here. I see
right.
It's a different practice when there's two different teams.
And I think what is really helping this arrangement, because we've seen it with Cleveland two times before, is there is such a strong relationship between Ron Rivera and Sean McDermott. There is an inherent level of trust between those two men, and it has filtered down to both teams. I mean, there were a couple of times where there was a hard – Duke Williams, for example, catches a pass over the middle. The safety comes up to try to thud him, and Duke lowers his shoulder and decks the guy. And the crowd's going nuts. The Bills fan love it. But Duke goes down and he helps the guy up. You know what I mean? And it's that kind of response that was pushed into these players the last 48 hours from their coaching staffs to say, we got too much respect for those men over there. And I have too much respect for that head coach over there. You're not going to be stupid.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. We're here to get work done, not to be jack wagons. And we didn't see that today.
Right.
And that was encouraging. And I'll tell you this, because Josh Allen referenced this at his press conference today. The benefits carried on even after the practice was over. You know, Luke Kuechly is known as one of the smartest players in this league as far as diagnosing things. And Josh saw him do something different than is anticipated on a certain play concept that they run offensively.
Right.
So after practice, he goes to Kuechly. And he says, I just want to ask you real quick, why did you do what you did on that play concept we ran? And they had a little talk. They talked for about 5 minutes about that play alone. And he said, you guys got a good offensive concept there. That's going to work a lot of times. And he said, well, why did you do what you did? And so he explained, well, I'm trying to make that a lesser play than it is for you by doing this. And so it's that give and take. So now Josh files that away in his memory bank. And so when he's playing against another really smart middle linebacker,
right,
he's going to think, maybe this guy plays this the way Kuechly did, and I'm not going to throw it in that area.
That's huge because I've watched Kuechly play when I was an analyst in the booth. You watch these guys play on film. Kuechly absolutely looks clairvoyant in what
he gets happens. There before everybody else.
Right. It's just the ball is snapped. He runs to where the ball's going. It's like he knows ahead of time. The other defenders are like they take that hop step, see what's going to happen. They're kind of reading their keys.
He's already gone.
It's like a starting gun for him. He just runs straight to it, and it's pretty amazing to watch him play middle linebacker. And I'm glad that Josh realized it too, and I'm sure the coaching
but
staff
those,
has.
Those are some of the advantages you get in an environment like this. And Josh said it. Look, we're not facing each other this year, so there's a comfort level to kind of swap knowledge and share those things to make each team better. Josh said, we're not going to play each other unless we're both in the Super Bowl. So there's a free flow of information going between the players, and that's helping both sides.
Right, and there's no question that, listen, if the Panthers can get the Buffalo Bills to beat all the NFC teams on their schedule, that's a plus for the Panthers.
Yeah, and vice versa.
I didn't think of it that way, but, yeah, you're right.
You know, so
Brownie, what do you got on the website, buffalobills.com, and what's coming up on the website in relation to today's practice?
Yeah, top three things is that you need to know from today's practice is already up there. I'll be doing a Periscope in a little while to answer some fan questions directly because, you know, with top three things, you can't get to everything. We just try to give you the drive-through window version of what went on today, what you absolutely have to know. And then we've got our Bills Minute. We've got all our press conferences up there from today, including Josh Allen, who talked for about 7 minutes with the media after practice, had some good things to say about the offense and what he got out of it. Carolina being a 3-4 front was a benefit, something he won't see, you know, in the training camp setting, but he will see this season in the regular season with some of the opponents they have. We're chock full of goodies for the fans.
We didn't give you a chance to weigh in our Twitter poll.
What was that today?
I think you might like it. What is the biggest benefit for the Bills practicing this week, these 2 days against Carolina? What's the best thing the Bills can get out of the joint practices? On Twitter, we've had 683 votes. 45% of respondents say a competitive uptick practice. 43% say a measuring stick for Josh Allen. 10% say the Bills get a look at a 3-4 defense. 2% have something else in mind.
I like that this offense is going against a 3-4 front. It's kind of a hybrid because sometimes they will bring that linebacker up and he'll actually put his hand
in. Everybody's going hybrid these days.
Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah. But I would say based on where we are in training camp, this is the time where you get that lull. You know what I mean? The players have been banging around for 2 weeks. They already got a preseason game in the books. They're just looking to, you know what I mean? And then you introduce this element, and it restokes the fire, so to say. And so I would say the competitive uptick, that's what's most beneficial because of the timing of it. We're here in week three. Guys are tired of banging around. Oh, who's that? Oh, I'm going to show up this guy. You know what I mean? So it turns the dial back up.
One last thing I wanted to ask you before we go. I've said that they do get a lot out of these joint practices. In fact, I thought, and I made this point to Murph earlier in the show, that if you go to an 18-game schedule, you have two preseason games, that kind of, if that's on the front, even if it's not. I think the course, if you add up the benefit of practicing against these guys twice, two full days, I think that's almost as good or better than one single preseason game because you get more reps for all the
logistically,
guys.
Logistically, it's a nightmare, but yes.
Sure, but I think the benefit for the team is better than playing a preseason game.
Right. No,
what do you think?
I see the value in that. Yeah, absolutely. I see the value in that. One last thing. Keep an eye on Ryan Bates, the kid they traded for.
Oh, offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman. He played tackle the first day in practice on Sunday. With the third unit. Today, they had him at center already. 2 days, and he already can make line calls, and he's at center with the third group. A guy to keep an eye on.
Eagles.
Yeah. He was an undrafted rookie out of Penn State.
Yep.
And with the track they've got him on, and it's a fast one, I would keep an eye out for him, maybe pushing some other guys off of that third unit and getting some more reps as we go through it, provided he handles what they think he can handle.
Watch for it.
Thanks, Brownie.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Brownie.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Steve and I back with more. You can give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. One Bills Live presented by Kalina Health. We're coming to you from Spartanburg, South Carolina on Buffalo Bills Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. John Murphy, Steve Tasker from Spartanburg, South Carolina. Steve, we got to get out of here soon. The temperature's up to 95.
Almost that matches this humidity.
It's pretty brutal. Our thanks to Chris Brownie and a lot of good observations. Steve and I, to get here to do the show, left practice a little early. Chris kind of filled in some of the blanks, made some good points about wide receiver play, offensive line play, and an interesting observation about the guy they just acquired in the trade, right? I hadn't heard anybody talk about him.
Ryan Bates.
I don't know where he fits into the picture.
I don't know. Who knows whether that's a reaction to something sinister about, you know, Mitch Morse. They're bringing a guy, and all of a sudden they want him to play center. I just think they're trying to get better at every turn. And Bates, I think they wanted him because they probably knew who he was before the draft. He turned out to be a guy that got signed by the Philadelphia Eagles. And they probably said, you know what, and they traded for him, right? I mean, or did they?
Yeah, they traded Eli Harold for him on Friday afternoon.
I think that says something about their knowledge about him and what they're looking at, and I think it fills – it's just a little makes them a little bit more secure about guys that they can put out there they think they can coach up and play.
Our Twitter poll today, what's the best thing the Bills can get out of these joint practices with the Carolina Panthers? We've been up on Twitter for about 2.5 hours. We've got more than 690 votes. 45% of you say they can get competitive uptick in practice, in the tempo of practice. 43% say they can get a measuring stick for Josh Allen. What are you saying on Twitter? Let's go to the tweet sheet. It is brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. They moved the Bills equipment down here. We saw the truck outside, right? That was pretty impressive. What do you got on the tweet sheet there, Steve?
From Jose, the team goes as the quarterback goes. The more opportunities Josh Allen gets to face another defense, the better off the team will be going into the season. I agree with that wholeheartedly. The more reps Josh Allen can get and the more good work. We heard Chris Brown talk about that conversation he had with Luke Kuechly. That you can't get that anywhere else.
Josh and Luke Kuechly,
Talking about what he was doing, why he did what he did, and the route concept that he was facing. And it was
I love that.
That's professional football right there.
You know what I like about that? I love everything about it. I especially love the fact of Josh Allen having that kind of curiosity and respect, obviously, for Luke Kuechly to say, wonder what he was doing, wonder what he was thinking. I'm going to him after practice. And
knowing about enough about him not doing the right thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of next level. Yeah. So
it's a good sign.
Yeah, it's really good.
Here's one from Doug. I want to ask this question. He says, I got a question for Steve. Is there a wall you hit when you continue to go against the same player in practice? Switching it up by having a joint practice, I would think, gives the guys a nice change of pace and practice footwork or moves on someone else. What do you recall about that?
Well, I wouldn't describe it as a wall. Certainly, it's refreshing to go against somebody new because you can – because you have a menu of things that you can do when you, like, say, for instance, I always go back to one-on-ones when you think about looking at other guys, because as many guys as there are on the roster, you're going to see all of them a bunch of times when you go one-on-one, particularly as a wide receiver. I'm going to see all the corners over and over again. So you get this thought where you've shown them about all your entire repertoire of releases from the – you know, rip and to the hop, shuffle and to all the stuff you can do. You've shown them all, so they've seen it, so they know what they're going to get with you. It's fun to be able to go back and start fresh with a new guy that doesn't have any idea who you are or what you can do. And it's nice to see if you can, you know, go back and brush up on some moves you know have worked for you in the past and have some success against them.
I've been thinking, too, about today's practice. That receiver versus defensive back matchup might be where the sharpest competition was today. You know, they're not hitting. Linemen are right. Not hitting. They're not bringing down running backs. They're not tackling running backs. But when you line up, whether it's an individual drill or 7-on-7 or even the teamwork, and you line up and you're across from somebody, it's you versus him. That's kind of the essence of that matchup.
And it's what you see and hear while you're standing there watching as well. That this whole thing is about what happens between these guys' ears, because they all have ability that they bring to the table. They would not be signed to an NFL contract if they didn't bring the physical abilities it takes to play, because the guys who sign them to contracts have seen guys with their physical abilities play extremely well. Now, I don't mean you're going to, but a guy like you can, and they're going to try and coach you up. And so it's all about what happens between these guys' ears, what they learn on the way there, what they bring to the table from their past. And that's what this is all about. And that's why when you get against fresh guys, it's more a better chance to learn and a better chance to test what you have learned in the past.
All right, we're going to take a break. Coming back, it's One Bills Live from Spartanburg, South Carolina. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. What do we learn from today's show? We learned it's hot in August in South Carolina, 95 degrees right now. Captain Munnerlyn was on the show. Buffalo Bills corner, acquired on Saturday, practiced Sunday with the Bills up in Orchard Park, and was here today for this practice against his former team, the Carolina Panthers. Captain Munnerlyn gave us his first impressions of his new Bills teammate and the chemistry on this team.
They're really building a great football team around here. You know, the personnel that they got, the people that they have, you know, it's great teammates, man. Just to be around the guys for a couple of days, you know, you can tell, you know, it's a great atmosphere that they got in that building. And what they want out of me, man, is just come in, compete, be a leader that like I am. I don't want to step on nobody's toes, any things like that. But, you know, got a lot of young guys in the secondary, especially at the cornerback position and at the nickelback position. So they just want me to come in and, you know, bring them under my wings. And if it's, you know, a competition, I told those guys when they first signed me, I talked to the young guys. I said, listen, competition bring out the best of everybody. It just make everybody better. It makes the team better.
The voice of experience from cornerback Captain Munnerlyn. We had Pete Metzelaars on the show. He's been living in this Carolina area for 25-plus years after a long and distinguished career as a Bills tight end, bounce around the league as a tight end, bounce around the league as a coach, coaching high school football now. Pete Metzelaars kind of recounted his Bills career and the difference that was made in 1986 when the Bills finally signed Jim Kelly to a contract.
And then when he stepped up to sign Jim and make that happen, it was like, ooh, he's getting in on this thing. And we got a chance, and it just kind of built from there as you know, they put the team together and Bill drafted the players. They got a chance to draft it, and you know, and it just, you saw the team start building and being put together and stuff. And I think it was Ralph's commitment to getting Jim Kelly there.
Pete Metzler, your former teammate, buddy, our buddy. He's a good guy. Yeah. Good to kind of revisit the past with him. We got a guest tomorrow I'm really looking forward to. And yes. Shout out to our producer, Jay Harris. I blurted it out on the show yesterday. Boom! The guy's in the show tomorrow. Yeah. Sam Weich, former Bills quarterbacks coach for 1 year, but a great NFL head coach with Cincinnati, and he bounced around a little
bit. NFL Coach of the Year, 1988. He was part of the team that beat the Buffalo Bills in the championship game in Cincinnati, and went on to almost, without except for one drive, gave Joe Montana Niners a chance to be a hero, and he lost the Super Bowl to Joe Montana and the 49ers back in the 1988. So he'll be on with us. It'll be good
Sam
to see
Weich
him.
Sam lives down the road in Pickens, South Carolina. He's lived here for years, and he's going to make the trek over here tomorrow at 1 o'clock to be with us. Also, a guy, you're doing your homework. Sam Acho is going to join us, brand new Buffalo Bills defensive end, right?
Yeah, he's an articulate guy. It's going to be fun to talk to him. Went to University of Texas, and he's brand new Buffalo Bill. We're going to get a chance to talk to tomorrow. We're going to enjoy hearing from him.
He'll be right here tomorrow. It's going to be warmer tomorrow. Is that possible? Production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Karges, James Robel, our producer, Jay Harris. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. We're going to cool off, take 4 or 5 showers between now and noon tomorrow. Join us tomorrow. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from Spartanburg, South Carolina. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.